Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. Thank you for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And as you can join us in our first broadcast of 2017, we're going to continue here in our study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1, and we're going to pick up here in verse 3, which we've been looking at, which is, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God and our Father." And we left off last time really dealing with this issue of the patience of hope and looking at what it is that the Apostle Paul actually means related to the hope that we have as the members of the body of Christ. And one of the passages that we had ended with was looking here in the book of Titus, chapter number 2, where we see the Apostle Paul defining this issue of hope, and starting here in verse number 11 of Titus 2, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, many individuals really take that idea of the hope being the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we have the Apostle Paul actually defining it and saying that there's a hope that we have that he calls that blessed hope, and also puts it as "and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." So he separates out the issue of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the timing out of the catching out of the saints, or what many people refer to as the rapture, and says that there's something that is timed out with that that he calls that glorious hope. And that's what we're actually going to be looking at today, is the hope that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to here. And let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, because we'll see that he starts making a reference to this hope that's true for all individuals. And when I say all individuals, I'm talking about the individuals who've put their trust in that gospel message. And since we're here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we'll actually read the verses before we get into the text that I actually wanted to go to here. And we're going to start right here at verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, which says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now we see here the Apostle Paul actually making a reference to what he calls the gospel which I have preached unto you. So this is the gospel message which he has been going out and proclaiming, that's been given to him to preach to the Gentiles in this dispensation of the grace of God, what he refers to over in Galatians and calls it the gospel of the uncircumcision. And in verses 3 and 4, he actually defines what that is when he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And by believing in that, and that alone, is what actually gives somebody their salvation today. So it actually takes care of that issue of sin. It's what gives the person forgiveness today as a present possession, allows them to have access to the spiritual blessings in heavenly places that the Apostle Paul makes a reference to in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 3. All of those things are true of the members of the body of Christ because they've put their trust in this gospel message which we've just read. Now, as the Apostle Paul continues through the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15, he starts to deal with some things related to resurrection. He deals with, you know, individuals who deny the resurrection. He starts talking about some specific issues that are the result of this resurrection. But I want to go down here to start in verse number 51 of the chapter, because we're going to see that he's going to start dealing with an issue. And it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, we're going to stop here for a minute before we actually read what he's going to define this as, because when the Apostle Paul uses that phrase and talks about, "I show you a mystery," he's always going to define exactly what that mystery is that he's actually making a reference to. So there can be no possible confusion for the member of the body of Christ who's reading this epistle to have a lack of understanding of what he's talking about. And we see here in verse 51 where he's actually going to define that mystery that he's showing them when it says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." So he's talking about the fact that the individuals who are the members of the body of Christ are going to have a change, which ties in with, if you read through the things that had led up to this, you see that he starts to define this body that individuals are going to receive, a body which is going to be able to survive in the heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity. And we know the bodies that we have today, you know, these bodies break down. You know, as you get older, you know, there's more and more aches and pains that occur for an individual to where, you know, this body breaks down so much that eventually it dies because of all the problems that it has. But we're going to have a body that's going to be, and we'll see these, talk about it, it's going to be incorruption. It's going to be incorruptible, which means it's never going to have a problem that comes about with it. Now, as he's defining this and saying that the mystery is that we shall all be changed, in the very next verse, he's going to time that out of when exactly that occurs. In verse 52, when it says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So he's timing this out and talking about this mystery that's going to be timed out exactly with the event that's known as the catching out of the saints. This is, this new body that we're going to have is truly going to be that mystery timed out exactly with, you know, what the Apostle Paul over in Titus, we talked about that glorious hope and the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the hope is the fact that we're going to have this body that's going to allow us to be able to exist and reign in the heavenly places. And now he's going to start describing this, as he's already talked about, it shall be raised incorruptible. And that's for those who are dead in Christ. The other individuals, those who are alive at the time when that event occurs, will be changed. It says in verse 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And we see this whole issue of the fact that there's a victory that we're going to have because the issue of death is no longer going to apply. We see this whole thing of when you go through this passage, I'm just want to read some things where that body is going to be described. We're going to read a couple more verses here in this chapter. Let's go up to verse 39 of 1 Corinthians 15, where it says, "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body." So we see from these few verses some of those descriptions of the incorruption, the glory, the power, the fact that it's going to be a spiritual body. Those things that describe this promise when it's talked about, we shall all be changed. The hope that we actually have. And we have the understanding when we're talking about this event, and we're here in 1 Corinthians. I want to go over to chapter number 1, because we're going to see that the Apostle Paul, as he's talking about this, he's going to be making a reference to what he's going to call the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want to read here verse 8, where it says, "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the hope that we have is the fact that we are blameless, and by blameless means that the sin issue has been taken care of. We've received His righteousness, so that way the only thing that can be seen is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by seeing that righteousness, we are declared to be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that day, we're going to see it made reference to over in the book of Philippians, where we're going to go in a minute. That day is the timing that's known as the rapture, the catching out of the saints. This is what the Apostle Paul calls the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's also called the day of Christ in some of these other passages. But the hope that we have is that we are seen in this manner, that we're going to be able to receive that promise. Now let's go over to Philippians chapter number 1. Because we're going to see the promise that's being made over here in the book of Philippians in chapter number 1. I'm going to read here, let's read verse number 6, where it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So the promise that we have is that the good work which has been done in us, that good work making the reference to the fact of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary, that's done until the day of Jesus Christ. Until He returns for us, we have the guarantee that that work has been taken care of, that issue of sin. Now we skip down here to verse number 10, and we're going to see how it is that we're viewed up until this day here, verse 10 of Philippians chapter 1, "that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Now, without offense means that, you know, there's no issue of sin. We know that because the issue of sin has been taken care of for us. The issue of being sincere means that we are the genuine product. And we're the genuine product because we have received that salvation, and we have this sealing ministry of the Spirit, which keeps us as a member of the Lord of the body of Christ, keeps us in that position, so that way we can never lose that salvation, that we can always be viewed in the exact manner that God intends for us. And that's the hope that we have. Now, we see the promise of the rewards that are associated with this. I want to go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, because we're going to see that promise of the reward. And that promise of the reward is all based on the fact that we're identified in Christ. And because we're identified in Christ, these things that the Apostle Paul is going to be making a reference to here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 are going to be true of us. And let's pick up here in verse number 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And it says here, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I want to stop here for a moment to talk about the issue of that foundation that's been laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that foundation being the Lord Jesus Christ being preached according to the revelation of the mystery, preached according to the information that's been given to the Apostle Paul. That's the foundation that's been laid. That's the foundation that's being built upon through what we do once we've put our trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And that's what we're going to see is going to be made a reference to here, starting in verse number 12 of this passage, where it says, now if any man build upon this foundation, so building upon that foundation of Jesus Christ being preached according to the revelation of the mystery, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So there's these two groups of things that are being built upon, gold, silver, and precious stones, and wood, hay, and stubble. Verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So there's a trying fire that occurs. The wood, hay, and stubble, and those would be the things that would be not pleasing to God that we could build upon that foundation. If those are the things that are built upon there, and that's all there is, that's burned away. But there's a guarantee there in verse 15, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, because we have that guarantee of our salvation. But there's a reward that occurs, that if there's gold, silver, and precious stones that are left, we have the understanding that we're going to receive a reward based upon that. The gold, silver, and precious stones are built there based upon our functioning related to the doctrine that's laid out in Romans through Philemon. So we have an understanding of what it is that God intends for us to do. So we take in the doctrine. We do the things that we're supposed to do. We allow the Lord Jesus Christ to work through us, as Galatians chapter number 2, verse 20 would be speaking about. But we also have that guarantee of that reward and reigning with him. As seen, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Because we see the Apostle Paul make another reference here as he's penning his last epistle and giving Timothy some words of encouragement here, we're going to see that he's going to be making a reference to this whole issue of that reward system that's going to occur. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, let's read here, starting in verse number 11. It says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he that abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now, I want to start there in verse 13, because that's showing very clearly that the person cannot lose their salvation, because he is going to remain faithful. The Lord Jesus Christ will maintain that faithfulness that he has, because everything is based upon his faith in what he did. And that's, you see that, in fact, if you go over to Romans chapter 4, verse 5, you see that it talks about his faith is counted for righteousness. That's the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to remain faithful. So since he remains faithful, he cannot deny himself. But you see in verse 12, that whole issue of the reward system, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. But if we deny him, talk about denying him that suffering, we're denying him that suffering because we are not doing the right things according to the doctrine that's been laid out. If that occurs, then he's going to deny us that ability to rule and reign with him in the heavenly places. It's going to have an impact on the hope that we have, but we still have the understanding that we're going to have that hope of being with him in the heavenly places and receiving that glorified body. That's why you can see things, for example, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we're going to see a passage that, you know, really speaks about that hope that we have, which says here in verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when it says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So the issue being that if we're absent from the body, so the moment that we are dead and outside of this physical body, we are present with the Lord. And we have that guarantee of being with him in the heavenly places. We have the guarantee of that hope. We see here that hope, it really relates to the things that the Apostle Paul really does have an understanding about what is truly needed for us, the members of the body of Christ today. You see the struggle that he had with some of these things. And I want to go over here to Philippians chapter number 1. As we look here in this passage, we see that the Apostle Paul, he's in prison at this time, and he's experiencing some things going on here. We're going to start here in verse number 19 of Philippians chapter 1. It says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." Now, we see here as the Apostle Paul speaking about and talking about these things, that there's a desire for him to actually be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly places, to be partaking in that hope that he's been preaching about, that he understands, that he's been teaching to all of these local assemblies, and that's why he can talk about it being gain, that there's a desire for him to have it, but he also sees that there's a need for him to be continuing here on planet Earth, exhorting, edifying the fellow members of the body of Christ, doing these things that way they would be able to rejoice in the truth of what the information that's been given to us deals with. And so he says that he identifies the fact that it's more needful, even though he can identify that hope and knowing that it would actually be good for him to actually occur this. Now, as we've seen all this and looked at this thing of the hope, we very clearly can see how this hope that we have is different from that hope that had been promised to the nation of Israel, the hope of that kingdom being established on planet Earth, and for Israel to be ruling and reigning over all the other nations. And instead, our hope is the fact that we're going to be ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly places and the glory that comes about with it. And even though sometimes we might not be able to understand all the magnitude of what this means, we know that it's true because God's word actually says that this is what we're going to be going through, what we're going to have for us. And that hope really should motivate us when we start thinking about the thing of, you know, all of our family, our friends, our neighbors, the individuals who have not put their trust in that gospel message. The motivation of that hope should really be the thing of that we want all of those individuals who are not saved to also be able to be partakers of that hope. Now, as we close here, next time we're going to start in verse number 4, looking at the things that the Apostle Paul's saying there. But I'd just like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our messages. We have a link to our Facebook page, which has a, you know, the video files. And also, if you can, you can actually watch live our Sunday messages. There's information on our website about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study. You know, when Pastor Reed is speaking, he's actually going through the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm teaching through the book of 1 Peter right now. You know, we would love to have each and every one of you join us in our Bible study. And if you ever have any questions or comments about anything, either in these studies, anything you read on our website, feel free to contact us and we will be sure to answer any of those questions that you have. And so until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.